verse 6, where God says, "Lift up your eyes to the heavens and look upon the earth beneath. For the heavens shall vanish away like smoke, and the earth shall wax old like a garment, and they that dwell therein shall die in like manner. But my salvation shall be forever, and my righteousness shall not be abolished. Hearken unto me, ye that know righteousness, the people in whose heart is my law. Fear ye not the reproach of men, neither be ye afraid of their revilings. For the moth shall eat them up like a garment, and the worm shall eat them like wool. But my righteousness shall be forever, and my salvation from generation to generation." So he is focusing on ye that know righteousness. Let's pray. Lord, give us your wisdom, your presence, and your guidance as we open your word together. We come with expectant hearts, Lord. We ask that you would now work miracles in our lives, that we would leave changed by your word and saying it was truly good to be in the house of the Lord. So we love you and we commit this service to you. Maybe you be glorified in it in every way. We ask it in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. Ye that know righteousness. So we know who he's writing to, who he's talking to. He's talking to his children. But he's reminding us here in verse 6, that what we see around us is going to burn up. God promised, of course, in Genesis after the flood that he would never flood the earth again. But he didn't promise that he wouldn't burn it up. And he does plan to do just that. He plans to burn up the earth and remake it. And there will be a new heaven and a new earth. And we're told about that primarily in 2 Peter 3. So let's turn over there just to get a quick glimpse of God's plans for the renewing the earth through fire. 2 Peter chapter 3, looking at verse 10. The Bible says, "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat." So God plans to redo it all with fire. Now remember, in the Bible there's three different heavens. Paul referred to the heaven where God is as the third heaven. And then there's, of course, our sky. And then there's everything out there beyond the sky is the second heaven. And it looks like God's going to burn all that up. Not his own heaven, obviously, where he dwells, but everything else he's going to remake with fire. And the good news is, if you're saved, you get to be in heaven with God while all this happens and don't have to face this fire and this judgment and this renewing of his creation. Because as God says back in our passage, verse 6, "My salvation shall be forever." Now he's writing to Israel here 2,500, 2,600 years ago, but he's also writing to us. God's salvation is forever. That's good news. That when God saves, he saves forever. And that God's salvation is forever. Now, we've been studying Revelation. We've been in the tribulation period for quite a long time. We see the Bible says multitudes will be saved in the tribulation period. And people will be saved in the kingdom as well. God's salvation is forever. And so not only are people getting saved and have been getting saved, but once we are saved, we're saved forever. Praise God. You know, that verse, John 5:29, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." We have life everlasting. You know, these people that teach you can lose your salvation, I don't understand what they do with everlasting life. Because it's not very everlasting if you can lose it and then have to try to get it back somehow. But anyway, we have everlasting life because God's salvation is forever. Look what he says at the end of the verse. "And my righteousness shall not be abolished." Look over at Hebrews chapter 5, if you would. God here is reminding us that his righteousness, which is the basis of our need for salvation, that God is holy and righteous and perfect. We are sinners. Therefore, we can't get to heaven without some supernatural intervention from our Creator. Because we can't be allowed in heaven unless we're righteous. Well, that's impossible But it isn't impossible, because with God all things are possible. And of course, through Jesus Christ, as we know, 2 Corinthians 5:21, we receive His righteousness when we get saved. And this righteousness shall not be abolished. Matter of fact, it's imputed to us. But also talking about the salvation, notice Hebrews 5:9. And being made perfect, He became the author, let's talk about Jesus, of eternal salvation unto all them that obey Him. Eternal salvation. Now don't be troubled by that little phrase, obey Him. Because the Jews came to Jesus one day and said, what must we do that we might work the works of life? And Jesus said, this is the works of God. He said, this is the work of God, that ye believe on Him whom He hath sent. By believing the gospel of Jesus Christ, that is obeying God. And that is obtaining salvation. So God's salvation is forever. God's righteousness shall not be abolished. That's the same righteousness that we receive at salvation. That verse I mentioned, 2 Corinthians 5:21, says, He hath made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Praise God. God makes us righteous in Jesus Christ. He imputes it to us. So, going back to our passage now, after laying this foundation, God says, hearken unto Me, ye that know righteousness. Back to this righteousness thing. He's saying, I'm speaking to you that know righteousness. Well, that's us. That's those that have turned to Him. You know, David even talked in Psalm 32. He said, blessed unto him unto whom God would not impute sin, but will impute righteousness. Ye that know righteousness, that's us. He says, hearken. I want to talk to you, ye that know righteousness. I'm going to burn everything up, but I want to talk to you that know righteousness, because you don't have to face this judgment. But I want you to listen. I want you to hearken. And the Bible says this from the beginning to the end, doesn't it? God asking us, begging us to listen. If we could look at 1 John chapter 2. And just see a New Testament equivalent of this plea from God. 1 John chapter 2, and notice verse 3. The Bible says, hereby do we know that we know Him, if we keep His commandments. Isn't that interesting? Hereby do we know that we know Him. It's almost a tongue twister. Do we know that we know Him? If we keep His commandments. Jesus says, if you love Me, keep My commandments. He says in 1 John 5:3, this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. And then look at 1 John 3:3, and every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. So God is saying, I want you to hearken unto Me. I want you to listen. Ye that know righteousness, because though we may know righteousness through salvation, what is God asking? He wants us to live righteousness. And that's what He goes on to say. Back to our passage, 51:7. The people in whose heart is My law. You cannot undervalue the power of hiding God's word in your heart. If you want to please God, if you want to serve God, if you want to walk the righteous path that God has put us on, we must, first of all, listen, hearken unto His word. Put ourselves under His word as much as we can. Look for opportunities to be spoken to by the word. That's why God gave us church. So we need to be there. It's called the pillar and ground of the truth. The Bible says faith cometh by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. Romans 10:17. Place ourselves where we hear it. Study it. Memorize it. Meditate in it. So we need to hearken. But also He says we need to hide it in our heart. In whose heart is My law. Now we could spend the rest of the evening just talking about scriptures that encourage us to memorize. It started in Deuteronomy, where God said, these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. Deuteronomy 6:6. Then we jump to Psalms. We know Psalm 119:11. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. And David said in Psalm 40:8, I delight to do thy will, O my God, for thy law is within my heart. The people in whose heart is My law. Did you notice in this passage, God isn't necessarily commanding it. He's assuming that it is so. Now, he does command us to memorize his word, but he's writing it as if we will, as if we are. And we should be. So we need to be hearkening and we need to be memorizing the word of God if those of us that know righteousness want to please God. And then in verse 7 again, back in Isaiah 51:8, this, notice the third thing. Not only hearken and hide the word in our heart in our hearts, but he says, fear ye not the reproach of men. Number one reason why Christians don't witness is right there. Fear. Let's face it, it's a fact. The Bible says in Proverbs 29:25, the fear of man bringeth a snare. But whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. The fear of man keeps a lot of Christians from doing what they need to do. He says in the next part of the verse, neither be ye afraid of their revilings. You know, Jeremiah was afraid. If you go back to Jeremiah chapter 1, God called him when he was young to be a prophet. And of course, Jeremiah had heard the stories, like most Jews, that most of the prophets had been abused and some of them killed by God's people. So when God called him to be a prophet, he was afraid. Well, I don't want to be a prophet. They're probably going to kill me. And Jeremiah went through some pretty harrowing experiences if you read through his book. But notice what God says to him. And this is when he was young and first being called, chapter 1, verse 8. Be not afraid of their faces, saith the Lord, for I am with thee to deliver thee. I am with you, Jeremiah. Don't be afraid. God is saying the same to his people. Ye that know righteous here in Isaiah 51, I want you to hearken. I want you to hide my word in your heart. But I want you to not fear the reproach of men. Don't be afraid of them. Because the fear is just going to cripple us. Most of us know 2 Timothy 1:7. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. If we have the fear of man, it didn't come from God, in other words. It came from somewhere else. Let's look at a few more verses on this. Psalm 56, if we could, verse 4. This is a theme of God's word, front to back. If we are his children, those of us that know righteousness, that have his righteousness, we also have his presence. And we're told, don't fear. Because ultimately, fear is an insult to God. I'm talking about when it's in his children. I mean, even when he called Joshua to take over and lead the people into the promised land, what did he say in Joshua chapter 1? Have not commanded thee, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. In other words, Joshua, don't be afraid. Yes, they're bigger than you. Yes, their cities are walled. Yes, they're giants. There's a lot of them. I'm with you. He says the same to us. We have nothing to be afraid of. Psalm 56, 4. In God I will praise his word. In God I put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. That needs to be our attitude. What is the worst thing that flesh can do unto us but send us to heaven? Amen? Amen. That's the worst that they can do. Is send us to heaven a bit earlier than we thought. Now go to Psalm 118:6. We'll see it again. This is David speaking. And David had been through a lot of amazing experiences. The king and his soldiers chasing him, hiding in caves. You know, David didn't have it easy all the time. But God led him to write these things from his own life that are such an encouragement to us. Psalm 118:6, the Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do unto me? Again, what can man do unto us? If it's not God's will, we are safe. Now, if it's God's will for us to go to heaven, then we're going to heaven. And nothing we can do about it. He's in control of that. That's why he tells us in Isaiah 54, coming up in a few chapters, no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. We are safe and secure. You know, I remember years ago meeting missionaries going to some dangerous places. And people would always ask them in question and answer time, you know, How can you go to such a dangerous place? And they would always give the same answer. The safest place in the world is in the center of God's will. It's true. You can die right out here on the street in safe Rotorua. If it's your time, it's your time. God's in control of that. And so why should we fear? Well, we shouldn't. Because you know what fear does? It cripples. Go to John chapter 12. We'll see an example of this in the Pharisees. Believe it or not, some Pharisees got saved, which is pretty amazing. But some of these chief rulers who did get saved, then they were afraid of people knowing they were Christians. Notice John 12:42. Nevertheless, among the chief rulers also many believed on him. That's pretty encouraging that these chief Jewish rulers, it says many believed on Jesus Christ, but it says, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. So they were more afraid of being put out of the synagogue than they were of God. Because the fear of the Lord should lead us to obey the Lord. And they were commanded, as we are, to not be afraid of man, but to tell people the good news of Jesus Christ. One more verse, 1 Peter 4, on this topic. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 14. The Bible says, if ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. The last time you were reproached for the name of Christ, did it make you happy? God says it should. Because we know we're obeying God, we know we're in God's will, we know God's in control, and God is watching out for us, and He only allows what He knows is best for us. So God has snuck in this little message in the midst of all these rebukes we've been looking at the past few weeks. To who? Ye that know righteousness. That's an isolated group of people of the world. People that have found the imputed righteousness of God through salvation. We're not talking about religion. We're talking about Christianity. People that have found Jesus Christ and His righteousness. God says, ye that know righteousness, just want you to know, I want to remind you, I'm burning everything up. It's coming a day when there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. But those of you that know righteousness, you don't need to be concerned about it. You're protected. You're safe and secure in the hands of Jesus Christ. And in the meantime, until all this happens in the future, which is yet to come, I want you to listen, and I want you to hide the word in your hearts, and I don't want you to fear man. Interesting message when you think about it. Listen, memorize the word, and don't fear man. And when you look at Christians that have backslidden, where does it all begin? Stop listening to the Word of God. They're afraid of the consequences of standing for Jesus Christ. It's laid out there for us. Again, let's look at 1 John 5:3 just quickly, because I think this kind of lays it out so clear. In this matter of hearkening, look what God says. You want a definition of the love of God? This isn't the one that the world expects. And it's not the one that a lot of Christians expect. He says, this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. And His commandments are not grievous. Isn't that interesting? This is the love of God, that we obey God. How do we show God we love Him? Obey. If you love me, keep my commandments. How do we show God we love His Word? Hide it in our hearts. Read it. Expose ourselves to it whenever we can. Look for opportunities to be impacted by it, because it's got the power to change us. So, hearken unto it. Hide it in our hearts. And don't allow the fear of man to cripple us. You know, It was in Israel at the time. They didn't want to take a stand. They wanted to be like all the nations around them, and they would adapt to their gods and to their ways, which is the very thing God told them not to do. What does God want from us? He says the same thing. Come out from among them, be you separate, and what? Hold forth the word of life. Tell others. Don't be afraid. But this is an exclusive message. This isn't a message to the world. This isn't a message to the unsaved. This is a message to ye that know righteousness. Born again believers. He finishes in verse 8 of our passage by saying, "For the moth shall eat them up like a garment, the worm shall eat them like wool. But my righteousness shall be forever, and my salvation from generation to generation." What God has given to us is something that's eternal. This is the record that God has given to us, eternal life. And this life is in His Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. He's given us something that lasts forever, from generation to generation. Aren't we so blessed that we didn't just get saved from our sins? We were given something that was eternal, that can't be taken away. And we like Paul, can say, "I know whom I believe, and I'm persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day." We can just take comfort in those words of Jesus when he said, "All that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out," in John 6:37. We are safe. We're secure. What does God want us to do? Listen, obey, make the word a priority in our lives and hide it in our hearts. And don't allow the fear of man to cripple us. But get out there and obey our number one mission. Go and all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Ye that know righteousness, that's us. So we have our marching orders. Now we just need to obey them. Amen? Let's pray.